beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask the help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our Lord, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, which is the music guy, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of all those different people. Verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and they shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeril. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you." That verse has got a ton in it, all right? "O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Koah. And they, as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came together to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves and more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. So God richly blessed them for just waiting on him. Verse 26, in the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berachoth, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berachoth unto this day. Then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard of that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Wouldn't you say that the fear of God was definitely in all those regions? So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest round about. Now we're talking about another day, another battle. All right, we're going to pray and get right into this. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for your blessings toward us. Thank you for just being our God, even when it's hard, even when we have problems. Just help us to recognize this and help us to just put our problems on you and just to rest in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I went to college with a guy. His name was Tim Lawrence, and Tim was from Philadelphia, and he was one of these guys that made coffee nervous. I mean, he was a little guy, and he was just bouncing off the walls in college, and I would say, Tim, can you just sit still? And you know, he was like ADHD on steroids. I mean, he was just a mess. But he turned out to be a really good guy. He married a girl and their assistant pastor. And yesterday, his little girl, he's got two girls, and one of his little girls named Faith had an accident. And they didn't know the severity of the accident, and so they went to the ER, and the ER said, well, she's got a fracture above her left eye, and so that wasn't too bad. But then they said, you probably need to go to the children's hospital. I think it was in Indianapolis. So they were on their way to the children's hospital. On their way, her stats started to go down. By the time they got to the hospital, they had to do chest compressions to get her back. And even today, she's on a ventilator. Her name is Faith Lawrence. And they did some more tests. They found out that her spleen was bleeding. They had to do an emergency surgery and take out her spleen. And they weren't sure about some brain damage as well. Even right now, they're not quite sure if she's going to have some brain damage. I don't know what happened to her. I don't know if she got hit by a vehicle. But when they woke up yesterday, they were not intending on that problem. They were intending to do visitation, have a meal, do the family things that they normally do on Saturday. But all of a sudden, a big thing came in their life, and there's a big problem. Even today, she's in the children's hospital right now, and they don't know what's going to happen to her. Okay, your life and my life can change overnight drastically. And here in this story, we've got a guy, Jehoshaphat, and three armies come against him. Now, Jehoshaphat, to give you a little bit of background on this guy, he had a 25-year reign, and it pretty much, he served God faithfully. He was, the only thing that you could say about Jehoshaphat is he was forming alliances with evil men, such as King Ahab, and later Ahab's son, King Hazael, and finally Ahab's son, King Jehoram. Okay, and so the Lord was sending some problems to Jehoshaphat's way for forming these alliances. But other than that, this guy followed God. He feared God. And all of a sudden, he has a major problem come to his attention. He's got three different people groups that are going to come and fight against him. If you look in verse 1, the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and also it was the Zer clan here somewhere. Okay, and all these people were coming up. In verse 2, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. Okay, on the side of Syria. All right, so all these people were coming against him, and he didn't know what to do. Do you ever feel like the multitudes are just against you? Everybody's just the devil has whipped up on you all week, and you are so beaten down that you couldn't stand up very tall. I mean, sometimes our weeks are like that, isn't it? Sometimes our days are like that. You know, the devil just does everything in his power to set everything against us. You know, I know some people right now, some close friends that are being audited by the IRS. That's not a fun situation, all right? That'll keep you up at night, you know, a little bit. And just with the prayer request that I just mentioned, little Faith, you know, that little family there has, their world is upside down right now. And sometimes that's just the way life works. What do you do when this happens? And there's 10 things here, and Jehoshaphat shows us clearly what he did. The first one, number one, recognize your problem. From verse 1 to 3, he realized what his problem was. You know, whether we realize what our problems are or not, they're still there. We can put on a smile and we can go, come to church and we can shake people's hands, and I do it a lot, and I've got a problems that I face and the people have no idea what it is. But you know, I know and God knows. And when we recognize, hey, this is my problem, I've got to face it. You know, and problems don't get solved when we run and hide from them or when we push them in a closet. They're still there. When we face our problems, you know, and when we recognize it, we're dealing with it. Okay. Now, such as with the IRS, okay, eventually you can push that off so far and for a period of time, but eventually they're going to find you. They're going to contact you, whether you move or not. They're going to check out. Why? Because they want their money. They want what's due to them, okay? So we need to recognize the problem, and we need to go through this fairly fast. So number two, rehearse God's past dealings. Rehearse God's past dealings. In other words, Jehoshaphat said, God has helped us before. He's going to help us again. In verse 5, he said, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, and he goes down here and he says, look, we've had God's power. We've had God's past victories. We've had his promises. We need to go over these and we need to thank God for what he's done for us in the past. I remember as a little kid, I wasn't a teenager yet, so I was still a little kid. And my dad lost his job. That was a big deal. And you know what we did? He came home that day, and he lost his job. He got framed for stealing something, and he didn't do it. It was just termination, boom, right then. Well, that pretty much rocked our world, because we had no income coming in. And so what we did, and I don't know where they got this idea, but we got this little jar. And we sat down and mom and dad said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look back. We're going to think back and we're going to write down every problem that we've had and how God has helped us in the past. And we did that and we filled that jar up. What were we doing? We were saying, look, we had a problem back here and God helped us. We have a problem here, whatever it was, and God helped us. Now we've got a problem here. We've lost our job and we don't know, you know, thing. We don't know. We've got a problem. We've got an issue. And what do? We're going to rehearse God's past dealings. We're going to say, look, God, I know you're in control. Thank you for helping me when this happened to me and when this happened to me. And now this is huge. This is, I don't know what's going to happen. But look, I know you've helped me back then. I'm not going to lose my faith because I've got a new issue. I got a brand new problem. We can all wake up tomorrow with a brand new problem. Probably a lot of us will. What are we going to do? Are we going to face our fears? Or are we going to run and hide? And that's what a lot of people do. They said, you know, God, I don't know why God's forsaken me. Why do we blame God and say God's forsaken me on a brand new problem? And he's helped us for year after year after year after year on these other issues. And suddenly this thing is huge. Jehoshaphat's facing three big armies. And what's he do? Does he forsake God? Does he go to his own? Does he form new alliances? Does he make an army? No, he goes to God and he says, God, you've helped me here. You've helped me here. You've helped me here. I'm going to need you to help me here too. That's what he does. What are we on? Three. Number three, realize your limitations. Verse 12 says this, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. What's Jehoshaphat doing? He's saying, I have no power to face these three great armies, these nations. I can't do it. When we have our problems, what do? Do we try and just run, charge at it, you know, best of our ability, face it head on? Or do we go to God and we say, God, this is a brand new problem. And I have no clue how to handle it. You know, when we do that, you know what God's up in heaven doing? He's saying, I got you where I want you. Because when we realize we don't have any might of our own to face these problems, and we turn to God, the one who can help in these problems, he's saying, good, now stand back and watch me work. That's what he's doing. Number four, relinquish your life to God. The end of verse 12 says this, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Look, we are looking to God. We're not looking at the problems. And remember, these armies are coming. They're marching against Jehoshaphat, against Judah, against Jerusalem. They're coming. Just because Jehoshaphat stops and has a prayer service, doesn't mean the armies take a break. They're still marching. They're coming. And what's Jehoshaphat do? He relinquishes his life to God. He says, God, if it's my time, it's my time. If you want to wipe me out at this time, I'm looking to you for the answer. You know how many times people look to God last for the answer. They search in themselves. They figure out, okay, do I got the brains, the strength? Do I have what it takes to face this problem? And then when we fail, we finally fail, figure out we can't. We go to our neighbor, we go to our best friend, we go to our family members or different people trying to look for help in these issues. And then finally we figure out, man, I haven't gone to God with this. How sad would that be? But when we realize, you know what, I've got this brand new problem, I'm going to look to God for help and strength. You know where God's going to be? Right there. He's not hiding. He's right there waiting for us to come to Him. All right, number 5. Verse 13, the Bible says, and all Judah stood. Now, this is one of the hard ones, okay? Number 5, remember to wait on God. They were all standing there before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. They just poured their heart out to God. They just rehearsed what God had done for them in the past. They told God, I can't do it, it's up to you. And they're standing there waiting for an answer. How many times do we bear our heart to God and then open our eyes? We say amen, open our eyes and say, okay, all right, what's step number 1? Right? We want to get at this. We want to tackle this problem right now. And these people, they're just standing there waiting for God to answer. How many times do we rush God? We rush into things. We're impatient. And I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just as impatient as the next person, okay? I want to get where I'm going, figure it out, and get on with it. Waiting is never fun. But during those times of waiting, we learn from God. While we're waiting in situations, we get closer to God, don't we? We read the Bible a little bit more. We pray a little bit harder. Why? Because we're waiting on God. We're waiting on Him to work. We realize we can't make this thing happen. We can't fix this problem. There's nothing we can do. We don't have the strength. We don't have the brains. Sometimes we don't even have the finances to fix things. What do we have to do? We have to wait on God. We have to learn. We have to lean on Him. Okay? Number 6. From verse 14 to 19, what did these people do? They received God's word. They get a promise of deliverance, this guy, this music guy. Verse 17, the Bible says, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation with the Lord." I'm sure that sounded pretty good to him, right? Are you ever amazed when you have a problem and then it gets fixed without you doing anything? You know who what that was? That was God. You know, I've had some problems in my life and they've gotten fixed and I had nothing to do with it. And all I can say is, God did that. That's what happened here. Look, I underlined a lot of these words. Set yourselves, stand ye still. You know, God doesn't need our help figuring out our problems. You know, what we do, we get in the way more than anything. Set yourselves and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch God work. I wrote that down. Watch. Just sit back and watch God work. Let him do what he needs to do in your life. Is it going to hurt sometimes? Yeah. Is it going to be uncomfortable sometimes? Yeah. I'm sure Jehoshaphat was very uncomfortable sitting there, knowing in his brain he's got 3 large armies marching against him. And where's he at? He's standing here. You know what I would be doing? I would be going, what's that? It just left my head. Recruiting. The draft, I would be drafting every able-bodied person, giving them the best weaponry I could and say, all right, guys, when I tell you to shoot your arrows that way, okay? When I say charge, go to it. That's what I would be doing. I wouldn't be standing still. But so many times in our life, that's what we need to do. Because when we charge our problems head on, what 9 times out of 10, what gets accomplished? We mess things up. We screw things up. We make the problems that much more difficult, okay? Number 7, rely on God's power. This just simply means trust God. Verse 20, the Bible says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa to Tekoa, and they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the." I underlined this down too. Believe in the Lord your God. So, and I wrote these things, or I underlined these. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. You know what God tells them? You believe in God. You're going to do two things. You're going to be established, and you're going to prosper. We need to trust God. You know, it doesn't make much sense when we tell our problems to God and we wait for a short period of time and then we don't think nothing's happened and we pick up the problem and we try and do it ourselves. That's not trusting God. That's not relying on God's strength, on God's power. You know, God has everything lined up. I was talking to somebody, I think it was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. It was my neighbor. Or maybe it was Friday. I don't remember. A couple days ago. And I was telling him the situation that we're going to be flying out to Kansas. And of course, he knew that our house was sold and everything. And he said, "I just have one question for you." I said, "Okay." He said, "I was talking to my wife, and she brought this up. She said, what happens if they don't vote you in and your house is sold?" I says, "I don't know. Something will come up." You know? And it will. I can't. If I worried about that, I wouldn't get any sleep, okay? Not that I'm getting much either, because you ever sleep on a camper mattress? It's thin, you know? and I think there's upgrades to those mattresses, and we got the lowest one, okay? I said, if I worried about that, I wouldn't be trusting God. I wouldn't have my faith in God, because you know the cool thing about in my position? God knows exactly where we're going to go. He's got it figured out. All I got to do is day by day trust in him, walk with him, and wait for that time. And when it comes, it comes. There's no reason to try and push the apple cart a little faster. He's got it all situated. He's got it all under control. It might be soon. It might not be soon. And if that happens, I'll get a better mattress. All right. Verse 21. So number 7, we were relying on God's power. Verse 21, number 8, resort to praise. From verse 21 to verse 24, look at what these folks do. Verse 21, when they had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set up ambush. You see what happens when people praise God? God goes to work. You see this? They just finished praising God, and God says, okay, all right, I've told you to sit back and watch this. Here's what he does. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy none. These people just started killing each other. You know, that's what God was doing because Judah was praising him. Verse 24, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Everybody was annihilated. Can you imagine? His problems were over. Then he goes from problems to the provisions, and we're going to get to this. We'll just go right now. Number 9, rejoice in God's provision. Verse 25, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering the spoil. It was so much. Look, when God fights your battles, and then he rewards you for being patient and waiting on him and relying on him, the spoil in your life, the blessings, in other words, what we would call them, in your life is so great, you can't help but spend a while collecting them up. That's what it took 3 days to get all these things that these armies came to kill them with. They were stocking up for the next war. That's what they were doing. They took it all. Everybody was dead. God killed them all. And now Jehoshaphat gets free artillery. That's what happened. When God works in our behalf on our problems, and we rely fully on him, we don't focus on our problems, we don't focus on us, instead we're focusing on God, and God comes and he fixes this situation for us. And we step back, God steps back and says, okay, now, what do you think of that? Okay. And we can't do anything but say God's too good to us. It was so much. They couldn't even carry it all. It took them 3 days. You know, God's been so good to us. You can always look around and find somebody with a worse problem. Whenever I go to make hospital visits or nursing homes, and we do that, you know, when folks are in there with the church or we know some people. When I come out of those places, I always come out thinking, man, I thought I had problems. You ever feel like, I thought my problems were big. My little problems are nothing compared to some people, you know. And I'm not saying that you go and try and make yourself feel better by finding a worse individual with a worse problem. But it kind of sets things in order, doesn't it? It realizes that, hey, God's in control. You know, I'm not the only one that has problems. I'm not the only one that struggles. Man, there's so much I struggle with, it's not even funny. And same with you, okay? And we all have these issues in life. And when we go to God and we just give it to God and we get that load off our chest, for one, it makes us feel a little bit better because we know, hey, God's got it. He's in control. There's nothing I can do. I'm just going to sit back and watch what happens. But then when you meet other people and they have problems, it kind of puts things into perspective a little bit. Man, God's been really, really good to me. And here all I've been doing is complaining a little bit. And then I go and I meet this person. And man, I thought I had it bad. But look what God has done for me. All right, what are we on? Verse 9, number 9, number 10. All right, number 10, verse 28 through 30. Rest in peace. Now, this sounds kind of terminal. But it's not, okay? Verse 28. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave them rest round about. You know, you can truly rest in peace when you've accomplished the above 9 things. Because there's nothing else you can do. You know, most people, most Christians, what do they want? They want peace in their life. They want quiet. They want some rest. And after you've had a long battle, after Jehoshaphat, he was ready for some rest. And for God to give it, it says for his God gave him rest round about. That means his life for a period of time was roses and picnics. Okay? Why? Because Jehoshaphat did what was right on the above 9 things and he let God handle it. I'm not saying your life's going to be peaches and creams 24 hours a day. So it's not. But when we do have these problems, we need to do what Jehoshaphat did. We need to recognize, hey, we've got a problem and realize God's got the answer and leave it in his lap and let him work. If we don't, we're going to mess things up a little bit harder for ourselves. So if we want true peace in God, what would that be? It'd be God giving it to us, right? And how do we get that? By doing these above 9 things. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessing to us. Thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. There's a lot of things that have happened this past week to folks, but also there's a lot of good things that have happened this past week. And your blessings are so numerous, we couldn't even begin to write it down because it'd just take too long. But thank you for those things. Help us when problems do come in our life. Help us to recognize them. Help us to lean on you. Help us not to lean on our understanding, but to put that on you and to just relax, realizing that you've got the situation under control. Thank you so much for who you are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.